Passover and Easter are fast approaching. Two pretty big holidays for Christians and Jews. We, too, mark these holidays here at UUFSD. It's kind of hard being a Unitarian Universalist and not at least acknowledge these holidays. For many of us identify in some ways with the religion of our birth, and many of our congregations are full of people still understanding part of their identity to be from these two traditions. Today and together for the next 3 weeks, we will explore our religious journeys from the religion of our birth or not, through the religious choices we have made up until now, and then finally where we go from here. As you know, the religion of my birth was Judaism, and I'm just one here today who acknowledges various aspects of that birthright. I know many stories about some of you here as it relates to the religious path of your birth and of our religious upbringings. It could be said that there's a continuum of religious belief or practice from our childhood, which many of us could place a dot on the continuum. Some were born into fundamentalism, and some were born into liberal interpretation or even, dare I say, loose affiliation. And this continuum, by the way, knows no specific religious practice. No one faith has the corner on different levels of adherence. There are those here, I would say, that were born into one might call fundamentalist atheism. Being taught that religion was perhaps the opiate of the masses, and there was never anything such as a supernatural life force that ran and ordered the universe. Perhaps even going so far as saying that religion was evil, human conceived, and the cause of most of the problems in this world. Some of us, like me, have gone through that. Fundamentalism is, after all, fundamentalism, or a movement or attitude stressing strict and literal adherence to a set of basic principles. And perhaps the opposite of fundamentalism on the atheist continuum was someone who was born into homes that didn't really talk much or think about any of this, maybe more on the side of agnosticism, where they didn't believe in a supernatural God, but they didn't care much. And they did Easter egg baskets and put up Christmas trees every year, much like my brother. Of course, there were similar versions of this in the homes of others in this congregation. Some come from Christian homes, Protestant or Catholic, which had similar continuums represented in the homes of their origins. Some of these homes took the Bible as literal interpretation or the inerrant word of God. Some saw it more as a metaphor, but still followed the teachings and the traditions that had been passed down from generation to generation. This is certainly true in my home, where I'd gone to seders as a child that were entirely in Hebrew and lasted for what seemed like, I don't know, 8 or 10 hours. That was a joke for those of you who haven't been to a seder. And where the earliest part of my life was spent lighting Sabbath candles and eating chicken soup on Friday nights. And of course, there are others here from other faith traditions. Some that were raised in Islam, some that were raised in Mormonism, some in earth-centered traditions, or in any number of other types of traditions that practice their tradition in different and unique ways. And in almost all cases, not all, but almost all, we are here today because at some point we decided that it was important for us to move on from the faith of our birth to explore different paths, to make our own decisions about what was meaningful for us. This isn't unusual. It's part of a natural cycle of development, to question tradition, to question authority, to question our parents, all natural aspects of a developmental process. This doesn't mean, however, that it's always easy to move on. There certainly are many things that come with tradition, authority, and parents that are complicated and can be challenging and wonderful. I've spoken lately about my increasing awareness and appreciation of who I am as a Jew, but that doesn't make me want to stop being a minister and become a rabbi. I appreciate the long history, the struggles. Many traditions and rituals that I learned as a child carry me to this day. And I know many former Catholics who have rejected what they perceive to be narrow and harmful theologies and dogma, but miss Catholic social teaching and practice, and still love to go to a good Mass, especially on Christmas Eve at midnight. And it isn't all about just missing some of the traditions and rituals. Some people actually miss the certainty that their faith tradition gave them. Unitarian Universalists are known for the way that we have more questions than answers. But I will tell you that I've seen many people reach the end of their life, and it is the certainty taught to them by their religious tradition that brings a great deal of comfort to them when their family accompany them with death. We use the metaphor of a journey so often that sometimes I fear that it becomes trite. But it's a pretty accurate way to describe this process. It can, however, get a little murky. We come to Unitarian Universalist congregations and we try to say what kind of journey we're on, for we all continue to be on a journey. Our journey started with the birth and our religious traditions. Or you could call them spiritual traditions, or you could call them faith traditions. And it seems that though the evolution of Unitarian Universalism and those who are attracted to it end up calling the word that we most agree on spirituality, we often talk about spirituality because we're looking for ways to describe this side of life that began when we began, but we could call it anything, faith journey, religious journey, just journey, or, you know, Farfignugan. It doesn't really matter what we call it. It's a little less important what we call it than how we describe it. Actually, I'm not sure why we spend so much time debating what to call it, because as your minister, I'm much more interested in what you think about it, or how you feel about it, or how you experience it. And while I'm on the subject, I'm not the arbiter of what spirituality means. I can have and will give you my thoughts about it, but I do that only in an effort to help us all better understand our spiritual journeys. And also, like all of us, my spirituality is where it is now, and will continue to evolve as it does. I've heard wishes that I would be more spiritual as your spiritual leader, just as I've heard comments that I'm too spiritual, and I talk about it way too much. There just isn't that much I can do about that. I'm as spiritual as I am, and I am always in the process of evolution. We are all in a process of evolution and definition and redefinition. It is our human nature, which is why today I wanted to give others a chance to express what they think the definition of spirituality is. So I sent out a note via email and asked you to do a little homework. Did anyone here do homework? Your dog ate it. Very nice. We have a couple people. So what I asked was, for those of you who aren't on our email list, I said, I'd like you to take a brief paragraph and see if you could help us define what spirituality is, or at least for yourself, and get a better sense of what some of us are thinking. So I have some volunteers. Thank you. Test, 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 test. Excellent. Phil Donahue, thank you.
Well, for me, this is also an evolving way of being, but it has to do with wholeheartedness, with merging the head and the heart, with being in community, with shared laughter, and with acknowledging the beautiful natural relationship that we have with the world.
Thank you.
Hi, and for me, spirituality means wonder at the natural world, and not just at the things that are not part of our civilization, but what we are and what we do to each other. And connected to that idea is an idea that comes from Islam, which is submission. It sounds very strange to the Western ear, but the radical idea was that you would submit yourself to something greater than you, and I think that's part of my spirituality too.
Thank you. Anyone else? Let's get, come on, at least one more. Oh, excellent.
I just came up with one word, and then I thought, okay, that's good enough. Connection.
One more chance. Okay. Oh, bravery. We must reward bravery.
I think of it as learning how to be more loving, sort of, well, you know.
Thank you. And I'm going to go this one.
I think of it as finding a wholeness within ourselves, finding our true self, but then also taking that to look outwards and finding wholeness and trueness and humanness in other people.
Beautiful. Thank you. Let's hear it for those who are willing to speak up. I know some of you did homework, but thank you. And I deeply appreciate those who are willing to share today. As you can see, there's a wide variety of interpretations of what spirituality is. There always is. It's your journey. Last May, I did a couple of sermons about spirituality. In one of them, I said, let us look at the word spirituality. The root of the word is spirit, and the root of spirit is from the Latin spiritus, which means breath. So if you want a very simple definition, spirituality is about living and breathing. Looking at that a little more metaphorically, spirituality is not about what we do with our lives. It's about how we do it, the way we go through life, the things that fill us with the breath of life when we inhale and exhale, all that life has to offer. That's a pretty important part of life, how we go through our lives, breathing in and breathing out all that life has to offer. It's difficult for me to think about breathing in life without thinking about being open to what is possible to breathe in. Life can be pretty big. I think there are some trying to make it small for a variety of reasons. It can be scary when there are too many choices. It can be difficult to travel unfamiliar paths. It can be threatening to move beyond what soothes us and makes us comfortable. But it's hard for me to think that spiritual paths take us down a road that isn't about exploration, both internally and externally. Exploration is a part of what we're doing here. For as my friend Cheryl recently said to me, religion isn't about exploring what makes sense. It's about exploring what doesn't make sense. Even for those born into Unitarian Universalism who are here today, you have had to explore moving on in your religion, even of the religion of your birth, into new and different understandings and new pathways. We continue to explore the definition of words that we use because it helps us explore meaning about things that don't always make sense. We also spend time exploring where we came from, and we work psychologically and spiritually to contextualize how that continues to affect our lives. Where we began was filled with many gifts and many challenges, and it's something that we all need to explore. To some, there was much pain that continues to influence and shape our lives. To others, there are things that we embrace, and it's all multi-layered and means all unique and different things to each one of us. While reflecting on all of this, I couldn't help but think of things that came from religious traditions that I wouldn't want to be practicing based on their theology or dogma, but perhaps do help us access the spirit or breath of life. There's one of those things that I listened to when I was a child that helped me access that spirit or breath of life. And I'd like to play it for you for a moment, the Kol Nidre. Those of you who know what that is. And just get comfortable for a minute. And just listen for a minute. And see how this sounds.
Kol Nidre Vesare Vaharame Vekoname Vekinuye Vekinuse.
There are thousands of years of tradition in this. It is a song from the High Holidays. It's something that I will remember and embrace for the rest of my life. And I understand that there are those in this congregation who will listen to these types of things and maybe not think of it as a connection to the spirit. In fact, it may trigger an opposite reaction of wounds of the spirit. It is the struggle we have in such an amazingly diverse congregation of individuals. We come from different backgrounds. We have different needs. We are at different levels of processing about our religious past. We see through different eyes, but we come here together on Sunday in our communal life. We try our best to create rituals to explore meaning, to struggle through words and concepts, and bring forth the gifts and the challenges of our past. We won't get a chance to talk much about the second piece that I'm going to play today, but I ask you to listen to this one too and see if it helps you access that place of spirit, that sense of exploration, that feeling of the breath of life. It may not, but that is part of the point of exploration. Not always easy, not always comfortable. Hopefully here, however, always safe and surrounded by the love of this community. Breathing in and breathing out the breath of life. Amen.